Very much.
I can.
All right. This is the Big Talker 1210. I'm RJ McKay. All right. Our next guest wrote an article after seeing the cover of Ms. Magazine that had Barack Obama in a Superman pose ripping his shirt open. And this sort of outraged her. And she wrote an article called "When Did Feminism Become the F Word?" Now, the author is Amy Siskind. And Amy's also started a website called newagenda.net. Amy, tell us a little bit about the website. And welcome to thebigtalker1210.com.
Thank you for having us, RJ.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So you write this article, and what inspired this article was the cover of Ms. Magazine.
Right. Well, the New Agenda is a nonpartisan women's rights group.
Mm-hmm.
We started over the summer in August. And the nature of the article is basically talking about the passage of the old women's rights and what we consider ourselves to be, which is the new wave of feminism, that is going to be what we call Big Tent feminism, which is inclusive of women and men of all political parties.
Okay. What got you inspired to do that then?
Well, what we believe is that the women's movement had sort of devolved into a clique.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us, including myself, who believe in women's rights, felt we weren't included, felt we couldn't really identify or understand what they were fighting for anymore.
Okay.
There's so many women's issues that impact all women. The women of this country are actually moving backwards. I mean, if you look at the statistics on domestic violence, for example, from 2005 to 2007, domestic violence is up by 42% in our country.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at fair pay, women still make only 78 cents on the dollar of what men make. If you look at our representation in government, it's shockingly low. Women only are 16% of congressional seats.
Wow.
We're currently 17% of Senate seats, and if Hillary's seat goes to a man, we'll be back to 16%, whereas 54% of the voters in the last election were women. And
okay.
So what we found is that there's really no women's groups that are speaking up on a national basis. There are wonderful women's groups that are focused on specific issues, but what's happened to the women's movement is become segregated on, as an inclusive group of only women that are interested in being liberal, Democrats, and pro-choice. And while those might be worthy goals, it's excluding probably 75 to 80% of the women and men who care about these issues. And a lot of men care about these issues as well.
I was going to say, before I read this article, if someone came to me, what is a feminist? I would have just said a liberal woman who is fighting for abortion rights. And that would have been it. That was in my head, my perception. And after reading your article, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, there was, because you do pay homage in the article to Gloria Steinem, also Eleanor Roosevelt, Shirley Chisholm, Betty Friedan, Robin Morgan, all these women that I'm sure even young women today don't even know who they are.
Right. You know what's happened is because of the way the movement had evolved, there was a backlash after the second wave of feminism, and it kind of went from being this brave, bold movement that Gloria and some of the other women you've mentioned started to being kind of an exclusive club, and people just couldn't relate to it anymore, myself mm-hmm. included. And I think that's why when the Daily Beast ran a poll, only 20% of women considered themselves feminists, and 17% wanted their daughters to be feminists. It's not that they don't believe in women's rights. It's just they couldn't understand what the fight was about anymore.
Okay.
And so, you know, these issues impact women. They impact men. 15% of our members are men.
Okay.
Because, you know, men are impacted in the same way. Men are fathers,
mm-hmm.
and men are sons of women that are victims of domestic abuse.
Sure.
Men are husbands of women who are second wage earners and need to earn a living to get the family through and pay their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this impacts not only women, but it also impacts men. And our notion is the only way to really be effective is to have a national get out the vote effort around women's issues that can include, you know, men, like-minded men, as well as women of all political parties. Because a lot of women have been held, you know, hostage around the issue of choice or held hostage around the issue of what political party they belong to. And therefore, as a voting bloc, we don't vote together, and therefore we've lost our power. So the notion of the new agenda is to galvanize everyone around these issues and to be brave and bold again the way Gloria and the other women were when they started this revolution, for which many of the liberties that we enjoy today came out of. But the movement is no longer brave and bold. It's become a clique that looks down on others, and that's not what the new agenda is about. We welcome everybody.
But couldn't part of it be complacent because of a lot of the progress that has been made over the years?
You know, that's a very interesting point. I think the 2008 election has been a year of reawakening for women, myself included.
Okay.
I had a very successful career on Wall Street, and I never really thought about these issues because I didn't relate to the women's movement as it was, and I was just going about leading my life, being a mom, working, doing all the rest of the stuff.
And Wall Street's a real boys' club.
Yeah, you know, I had a positive experience there.
Okay.
And so I didn't really see this stuff. And what happened to me during the 2008 election was it was like a click. All of a sudden, I became reawakened, and I saw what was around me. And I'm a numbers person. I worked on Wall Street. I started to look at the numbers, and I started to realize that one in every four women in this country is abused.
Mm.
I started to realize that we have poor representation, not only in the government, which we talked about, but also in corporations. Only 16% of women hold high-level corporate positions, and it's the same in academia. It's shockingly low. In academia, it might even be lower than 16%. So as much progress as women think they're making, we have so far to go. And what's actually happened, when you open your eyes and you look at it, the women of this country have actually moved backwards because no one's pushing for these rights anymore. And Ms. actually is emblematic of that, to say, gee, we don't need women to push for women anymore.
We've got Barack Obama.
We've got a progressive male to do it for us. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It ain't happening. He's not fighting for that. And his record since he's come in as president-elect has shown that he's really not fighting for the women of this country. You know, look at his first big decision, which is electing women to his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
He only selected 5 out of 21 women, so that's 24%, whereas women in this country composed 54% of the votes in the 2008 election and 52% of the population. And I might add that George W. Bush also had the same amount of women in his cabinet, and Bill Clinton had many more out of the two terms that Bill Clinton was president. He had in total 14 women in his cabinet, and Barack Obama is starting out with only 5. So it's just, you know, another example of the women in this country moving backwards.
Now I'll say this, and I want to bring this up and get your thoughts on this. Could it, though, possibly be that for some of these positions, there's still not enough qualified women to be in those positions? Is that a fair argument?
No. It's not. What's happened is it becomes like a boys' club, and only, you know, a small number of women get considered, whereas the vast majority of candidates under consideration are men. If you look at the positions that he's choosing from, there are thousands of qualified women that could have been Treasury Secretary, for example.
Right.
The first person that Barack Obama considered was Larry Summers, who, you know, infamously stated that women
yes.
are innately inferior in math and science.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the problem is probably most of these women paid their taxes. So that's no. Okay, I just took an opportunity to take a cheap shot at Timothy Geithner. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you know, so Obama put Summers over in a position that's probably equally powerful that doesn't require Senate confirmation. But if you look at Sheila Bair, Sheila would have been a much better pick than Geithner. Sheila Bair is the only one. We have this disastrous program, TARP,
yes.
where we've already thrown $350 billion into select banks, and it's done nothing to unfreeze the credit markets. Sheila Bair had this wonderful notion. You could put $25 billion in to help reduce foreclosures, and they don't listen to her. And, you know, she would have been a much better pick. And if Geithner goes down, we're going to be pushing for Sheila Bair.
Okay, well, good luck on that.
Yes.
I did want to take a step back. You did mention abuse, domestic abuse. And the one thing I that has stood out to me as something that I just get very aggravated. My background, my father, you know, we had 3 boys and a girl in the house. We only had one. My sister was the only girl besides my mother. And so she always was outnumbered. And my father really drilled it into not only my head, but my 2 brothers. You just don't hit women. That was just something that always stood out in my mind. If I, even playing sports and I beat my sister at a game, my father would ridicule me. Oh, you know, you're a big, tough guy. Look at that. You know, that type of thing. So it was always in my head to respect women. And I see the domestic abuse, and it drives me crazy. And the thing that I started or stands out in my mind is all these movies and TV shows where women are getting hit and they're fighting and they're doing all different things. And I think this is creating a bad a tone for young people to see women just, you know, in fights.
Yes. It starts early. Okay. And actually, this is one of the things that, that got me to where I am in terms of starting the new agenda. My daughter, when she was in fifth grade at this time, this was in the spring of 2008, one of her friends came into the car after school and was crying. And I asked her what was the matter, and she said the boys had cornered her because she broke up with a boy, bullied her, called her a B word, a C word. You know, I don't want to.
Yeah, I understand. Go ahead.
And, you know, I started to realize those are the same words that they were using on Hillary Clinton in our public discourse. These boys were hearing them at dinner when they were watching, they were watching MSNBC.
Well, then they
it starts young. And when you look at the statistics in high school of girls that date in high school, 30% will experience some sort of domestic abuse. They'll be stalked by their boyfriends via texting, via other means. They'll be called the B word or the WH word. And this is acceptable in our society, 30%. In college, and this is why we were so outraged with John Favreau with the groping cardboard-like version of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
In college, it's somewhere between 30 and 35% of college women are experiencing some sort of sexually assaulted during college. And there are no national women's groups speaking out about this. There are many wonderful groups locally, but it's a national crisis. And that's going to be a big part of what the new agenda focuses on in 2009 is domestic abuse, making the public aware of the figures we're talking about here.
Okay, Amy, I'm sorry we're up against the time here. This is it's been great talking to you, and I definitely want to follow up on newagenda.net and see how you progress with it. And the great thing, as I said before, when I saw nonpartisan, I think that's what we need. We need nonpartisan. We need to look at problems. And let's solve the problems and forget about the, you know, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I think that's just bogging us down.
I'm into that. We'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, anytime, Amy. I'll get back to you real soon, and we'll continue this discussion. Okay.
Great. Thank you, RJ.
And have fun coaching your. Is it both your son and daughter you're coaching today?
Yeah, my daughter's got a tournament, and my son has got a game too. So busy week of basketball.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Amy Siskind from thenewagenda.net. Do you agree with her that feminism has become a clique? And you don't, I'd love to hear from women. Do you not identify with today's feminism? And do you hear Amy and say, geez, that's more like what I want to talk about?